Now, promoters are the persons who conceive the business idea and they convert this into a reality. Okay, the promoters conceive the formation of a company and as to how to run and what has to be done. They undertake what is required for incorporation of the companies under the Companies Act. They also undertake to provide the company with required capital loan, the help to acquire the assets and properties. So they primarily are all persons who bring everything together and bring the company in existence and life. Now, because the promoter is taking all the required initiative, the position of a promoter is all at the pre-incorporation level. Okay, he is not an agent, not a trustee of the company, but he does enjoy a fiduciary relationship because he is the one who is promoting and bringing in the prospective shareholder. So he enjoys fiduciary promotion and will be doing everything to conceive the business idea. Now, what are the functions of promoter? The function of the promoter, other than conceiving the business idea, is to investigate, collect people, organize the company, and he gets the company going. Okay, and usually he becomes a part of the company as either a chairman or a director, right? Now, what are the types of promoters? There are various types of promoter. They can classify it as professional promoters. Now, who are professional promoters? These are the ones who conceive the business idea for others, and from this point they perform up to the point of obtaining the certificate of commencement of business, and then they hand over the company to the client. There are financial promoters, where when the financing environment is favorable in the economy, the promoters promote finance companies to finance the activities of economy, right? They are the professional financiers. There are occasional promoters, for example, certain professionals such as engineers, advocates, educationists, etc., who have flair to establish a business in their line of interest, may delve into the promotion of companies for themselves. Now, the legal position of the promoter, you need to understand, is very, very important. As such, they do not have any legal estate, but as the promotion business is non-entity before incorporation, they do not have they are not agent, not trustee, they are only in fiduciary capacity. And whatever actions that they have taken prior, during the pre-incorporation time, till the incorporation of the company, that certificate is received, they have to get that all these activities, acts, have to be assented and accepted. If it is not accepted by the board after the company is formed, then it will not be applicable to the company. That is the reason every pre-incorporated agreements, acts done by the promoter or any individual has to be assented to in the board of directors meeting. Now, the promoter decides on the type of the company. He will then apply to the registrar of the company for registration. He will have to check at the availability of the name. So you just can't directly go and start. You have to first see whether the name is available or not. This you can do by going through the website of the Ministry of Corporate Affairs. Thereafter, once the name is approved, he has to get a document such as Memorandum of Articles Association and Articles of Associations ready. Okay, this is followed by vetting the documents, getting them printed, stamped, signed, and have them filed with the ROC. Right, and the most important step is to give statutory declaration. And please remember, along with this, there are certain requisite fees which have to be paid, which also promoter takes into consideration, and he has to do it. Now, what are the duties and liabilities of he? It is its imperative duty not to make any secret profit at the cost of the company. Okay. He has a duty to disclose all the material facts to the company. Now, why? Because see, a promoter is there to promote the business. He cannot make a profit out of that for his own benefit only, right? And anything which is material has to be disclosed by the promoter. Otherwise, because it is any material things affect the working of the company. Now, please remember, even if a promoter is not an agent, or he is not the, you know, a principal, etc. In that sense, it doesn't have a legal status. But promoter is liable for any commission or omission or fraudulent activity or false, a statement that he makes while or during handing over the business. Now, what are the various provisions under the Companies Act? There are sections that lays down matter to be stated and reports to be set in the prospectus. Okay, he would be held liable if he for any non-compliance of the provision. Again, a promoter is liable for any untrue statement he makes in the prospectus with respect to shares, debentures. Even if I am dealing with a case where the promoters, there was a loan taken from one of the banks, and the promoters were informed, because they were trying to settle the dispute with the bank in terms of the loan taken, and professionally the promoters were advised that okay, it's okay, you are trying to settle, so it's okay if you do not mention about this loan in the prospectus. And they went for listing, and what the bank did is they caught hold of the prospectus and they found out that there is not a single whisper about the loan. So obviously bank wanted to even settle the matter. The bank wrote SEBI saying that, look here, they have concealed this fact that they have taken loan from me. Immediately SEBI initiated criminal action against them. This is the kind of liability that a promoter has if there is any suppression of fact. Okay, now that of promoter will not relieve his estate from the liability that arises out of abuse of his fiduciary position. So he will be personally liable, his estate will be liable if he exploits the fiduciary possession. Okay, now liability of promoters are for preliminary contracts. Now there are preliminary contracts which are entered by the promoter on behalf of the company during the pre-incorporation stage. Okay, and with vendors or any third party. Okay, now it's obviously because it is pre-existence stage, it will not bind the company. So such contracts, if cannot become binding on the company, unless it is assented to by the board of directors. Okay, now on request of the promoter of a company, a solicitor prepares the memorandum and articles of association. He pays the registration fees and gets the company registered. Now the company was held not to be bound for the services and expenses of the solicitor. Okay, the solicitor raised a bill to the company, and the company said that, look here, I am not bound by it. It is the promoter who is supposed to pay. Okay, so a company cannot adopt contracts entered into before its incorporation, even by passing a special resolution or by making adoption of such contracts as one of the objects of the company. Now, after taking all the preliminary steps for the registration, an application along with necessary documents, stamp duty, registration has to be made to the registrar. And after that, after perusing the documents, if everything is in compliance, then the ROC will go ahead and issue the certificate of incorporation. Now, what are the steps and formalities to be taken care of? Now, promoters have to take certain steps for getting the certificate of incorporation from ROC. On hearing from the registrar about the availability of name, they have to prepare certain documents and file them with registrar of companies. Okay, and now these are registrar of companies is assigned for each and every state. Every state has its own ROC. Now, what are the list of documents that you require for registration of company? You will require a memorandums of association which defines the object, the main object and the ancillary object of the company. That is why the company is formed. The articles of association. The article of association are the rules and regulations which govern the working of a company. A company cannot go beyond the articles of association. The address of registered office of the company is required. A list of directors with their name, addresses and occupations. You will need a consent letter in writing from all the directors to become part of the companies as director. You will need an undertaking by the directors to take and pay for the qualification shares. The statutory declaration by an advocate or an attorney or a CA practicing in India who is engaged in the formation of the company. Now, at the time of filing this company, these documents with the ROC, you would be required to pay the stamp duty, the registration fees and the filing fees. Yeah, all these informations are available on the MCA website. MCA website means Ministry of Corporate Affairs. Okay, for anything related to the company, Ministry of Corporate Affairs is your website where you have to go. Now, once the registrar examines these documents and it is satisfied that these documents are as per the required, he will go ahead and enter the name of the company in the registrar and issue you the certificate of incorporation. Please remember, certificate of incorporation is a very, very important document. Now, why it is important document? Because it is a conclusive evidence in terms of as to when the company has come into existence. Any work prior to the certificate of incorporation will not be binding on the company. So certificate of incorporation is very, very important. And even certificate of incorporation is important because it goes ahead and informs that yes, in the ROC this company exists. Now, what is the effect of the certificate of incorporation? The subscribers to the memorandum and all those who later become members of the company will be body corporate. Okay, this body corporate is capable of exercising all the functions of a company immediately after coming into existence with regards to issuance of using the common seal, the perpetual succession and the liabilities. It can also call for investments. Now, what is capital subscription? A private company and a public company which does not have not having any share capital can commence business immediately after certificate of incorporation is given. However, a public company which has a share capital can commence business only after obtaining another certificate, which is called certificate of commence business. And this you have to get from the ROC. Please remember, this certificate of commence business is only for public company. Right? So a public company having a share capital has to undergo two additional change, stages after incorporation of certificate. That is the subscription stage and the commencement of business stage. In the capital subscription stage, the company has to make arrangements for obtaining the necessary capital for the company. Now, for this purpose, after you get the certificate of incorporation, the company has to convey a board meeting to deal with the following business, which is very, very important. First is appointment or confirmation of appointment of company secretary. Please remember, this secretary word here means company secretary. Okay. Then adoption of preliminary contracts. As I said, if any contracts that has been entered during the pre-incorporation stages, they are not adopted in the first meeting of after incorporation of the company, then these contracts will not be binding on the company at all. You have to go ahead and appoint the bankers, solicitors, legal advisors, brokers, auditors, your CAs, etc. Then you have to adopt a statement in lieu of prospectus or the draft prospectus. The listing of shares on the stock exchange has to be approved if it's listing company. You have to adopt the underwriting contracts, right? So generally the promoters, because of the pre-incorporation stages, everything is taken care of by the promoter. The promoter appoints the company secretary, banker, solicitor, auditor and broker in advance. And these appointments are confirmed in the first meeting of the board of directors. Now let us look at the commencement of business. Now, commencement of business for a public company will only start once they obtain a certificate from the registrar, which is called a certificate to commence business. Okay. Now, to obtain this certificate from the office of the registrar, the following conditions have to be fulfilled by the company. A prospectus or a statement in lieu of prospectus has to be filed with the Registrar of Companies, which in short form is called the ROC. The number of shareholders allotted should not be less than the minimum subscription mentioned in the prospectus. The directors have taken up and paid their qualification of shares. These declarations are mandatory. Now, a public limited company also has to file a declaration that no money is liable to become refundable to the applicants for the shares for the reason of failure on the part of the company to apply for or to obtain permission for the shares or debentures dealt in the recognized stock exchange. They have to also file a declaration by one of the directors or the company secretary, or the company secretary who is a whole-time company secretary, to the effect that all the conditions regarding the commencement of business have been complied with. This declaration is very comes with its own liability. If anything is found is false, it will attract penalty and action against the person. Now, what is the duty of a company secretary? Okay, the duties are of a company secretary are very important and crucial in any company. Now, there are two stages. One is the promotion stage and the other is the incorporation stage. So how does the company secretary help? The secretary helps the promoter in making a detailed investigation of the proposed venture. Please remember that the company secretary is responsible for the compliances of the obligations as enlisted under the Companies Act. Okay, so the company secretary's role in terms of compliances is very, very crucial. Now, if necessary, on the advice of the promoter to secure the opinion of the experts, they will take secure the opinions. They help the promoter in drawing up the financial plan in the venture. To attend the secretary will attends all the preliminary meetings and keep a record of those meetings and helps in the discussions of these meetings. The secretary secures the approval of the registrar for the proposed name of the venture. They also help to the promoter in preparation of the preliminary contracts. They may help the promoter in drafting and finalizing documents such as memorandum of articles of association, etc. They have to follow the guidelines that are issued by the SEBI. Please remember that these guidelines are very, very crucial to be followed to the T as have been issued by the SEBI. They see to it that all requirements of the acts are for the registration and incorporations are complied with. They collect the certificate of incorporation and they can send notice. They have to send notice of the registered address to the company of the company to the registrar within 30 days from the registration. Now, what are the duties of the company secretary that are performed after the incorporation? In the previous slides, we have seen during and pre the incorporation. Now, post incorporation. Post incorporation, they have to look at the subscription and the commencement of business. Okay, to make himself converse, the company secretary has to know the provisions which are mentioned that are mentioned in the memorandum and articles of association. The company secretary will prepare the draft of prospectus or the statement in lieu of prospectus. The company secretary calls the first board meeting and gets all the documents such as draft prospectus, preliminary contracts, etc., approved by the board. Okay, the company secretary also not only arranges for the meeting, but will also detail down and list down the minutes of meeting. The company secretary also would manage the entire diary of the minutes of the meeting. The company secretary will see to it that his own appointment is made and confirmed at the first board meeting. And along with his own appointment, he will also look at the appointment of the bankers, advisors, officers of the companies, etc. The company secretary will arrange for the listing of securities of the company. He will also arrange for opening of the bank account as per the directions of the board to secure the necessary forms and stationeries that are required and for the preparation like not only just the seal of the company, the DIN, the CIN, etc. The company secretary will also see to it that the prospectus or the statement in lieu of the prospectus is filed with the registrar of the company, and it will also arrange for issuance of it to the public. Okay, it is when you are calling for a public subscription, prospectus gives the public the understanding and of the business and the inside financial health of the business of the company. So prospectus has to be read by the public, and that is the reason a complete disclosure is also required. The company secretary will arrange with the bankers to receive application money from the intending investors. The company secretary will arrange for a board meeting as soon as the minimum subscription is reached and have the necessary resolution passed for the allotment of shares. The secretary will also arrange for refund of application money wherever it is necessary to those who have not been allotted shares. You must have heard this during the IPOs. All these work is part of the company secretary. The company secretary will also issue letters of allotment or regret, whatever it is, to the applicants as per the decision of the board. She will look into the legal requirements for commencement of the business is complied with. So please understand that everything that is a statutory requirement, the compliance is looked after by the company secretary. So the company secretary will also look at the declaration, whether the declaration is filed or not, with the registrar by the directors, declaring the conditions that are required to be fulfilled for certificate of commencement of business. Then regarding obtaining business of commencement, section 11 of the act is silent, but it is implied that it has to be collected. Okay, now other aspects of section 62, let us look at it. Besides offering right shares to existing shareholders under section 62 1A to increase the subscribed capital, the company can offer the shares to the following: ESOS to the company employees, that ESOS is the employee stock option. Okay, these employee stock options terms will also be mentioned in the articles of association. Issuance to debenture holders, the section also stipulates that the debentures issued by the company or loan raised by the company cannot be converted into share to increase the capital of the company. Now let us look at what is memorandum of association and article of association and what is the difference between the two. Now, memorandum of association is lays down the constitution of the company. Okay, it lays down the conditions of incorporations and the limits and powers. And on the other hand, articles of association is the way you have society bylaws. Articles of association is something similar, which articles of association gives the rules and regulations as to how the working of the company has to be carried out. It defines the rights and the duties of the directors, members, how to issue shares, etc. The memorandum will state the object for which the company has been established. Whereas the articles will establish the rules or the manners as to how the business has to be carried on. Okay, they cannot provide anything that is contrary to the powers and objects which has been given in the memorandum. So these two documents are like the in a two-wheeler, there are two wheels which help the company vehicle to run. Similarly, these are the two wheels which balances out the working of the company. A company cannot be incorporated without the preparation and filing of the memorandum with the registrar. Whereas articles is not compulsory. If it is not prepared by the company, the table which is F, G, H and I under the act will directly apply. But it can be like a deemed articles of association. Now the memorandum governs the external relation of the companies. Okay, that is relation between the company and the public, including the third party vendors or the stakeholders like creditors, buyers, seller, debtors, etc. Whoever is the outsider that is dealing with the entity. Okay, the articles on the other hand defines and regulates the relationship between the members and the management of the company. It makes sure that the the working of the company is within a particular framework and rules and regulations. The memorandum of association is a primary and fundamental document. It lays down the foundation for the structure of the company, how, because it is from there that the objective of the company comes. Okay, it is an unchallenged on statutory matters, whereas articles of association is the secondary one. So first is the foundation is from memorandum of association, right? Now this should be read and understood very clearly because they complement each other, okay, and they are important. They in totality they give you the working, the idea, the business of the company. The memorandum lays down the scope or area of the company beyond which the company cannot go. Okay, all the acts of the company that goes beyond the scope of the memorandum will be held as illegal or ultra vires, and they cannot be ratified by the company. And articles are subordinate to the memorandum because the activities are confined within the memorandum, and how to carry out those activity is mentioned in the articles. Okay, all acts which are beyond the scope of articles but within the memorandum is not void and can be ratified by the company by the board resolution or in the meeting. Now memorandum can be altered only by a special resolution, and it is subject to the sanction of the court or the central government as the case may be, whereas the article can be altered by a special resolution and sanction either from the court or the government is not necessary. Now a statutory declaration should be filed with the registrar by the advocate or a company secretary or the chartered accountant of the company to the effect that all requirements of the act have for with respect to registration has been complied with. Now the declaration will be in the form number INC 21. These details, as I have mentioned, is available on the MCA website. Their FAQs is also very extensive, which gives you a better idea as to which form is for what. Now let us look at prospectus. After the memorandum of association and articles of association, prospectus for a public limited company becomes very, very important. Now after the certificate of incorporation is received, the promoter goes for a public offer. Now what does a public offer? A public offer means that the promoter is raising the capital of the company either in form of shares or debentures or both, and this will be from the market, from the public in general. The promoter will enter the capital market for the first time through the company, okay, and at the time of entering the company capital market, when I say capital market, it is public in general, they have to release a document called prospectus. As I have said, prospectus is a public offer which is very, very important and mandatory because it defines what the company is. It gives an insight to the public in general about what the company is, what are its rights, what are its assets, liabilities, whether so it's like a book which gives you the insight whether to invest in the company or not. So as per the definition of section 2 subsection 70, prospectus means any document described or issued as a prospectus and includes a red herring prospectus referred to in section 32 or shelf prospectus referred to in section 31 or any notice, circular, advertisement or any document inviting offers from the public for the subscription or purchase of any securities of a body corporate. Please remember that this document should be for what? Should invite subscription or purchase of security. Now this prospectus is a statutory information document. What it tells? It tells about the board of management, registered office, the objective and type of business carried, the amount of public issue and what is the price, the name, address of the brokers, underwriters, bankers, the mode of payment of shares, the address of auditors and the lead managers, the rating given by rating agencies, and the financial information. Now what is the objective? As I have earlier told, the objective of the prospectus is to inform the public about the company. Okay, what is its business? Why? What is the reason or objective behind inviting public to invest in the shares or debentures or the company to preserve the authentic record of terms and conditions when the invite to subscribe has been issued, to make directors responsible for the statements, because the directors are representing something through the prospectus to the company public and asking for their money. So if it is in writing, it and documented, then the directors are made responsible for it. Now the observations. Now section 23 to 40 of the Companies Act, it deals with the issue of prospectus and the related work obligations of the issues. Section 23 subsection 1A prescribes that a public company may issue securities to the public through prospectus. Now the issue is called public offer. Now this public offer can either be the initial public offer or it can be a further public offer, okay? And these offers of securities is to the public, or it can be an offer for sale of securities to the public by an existing shareholder through issue of prospectus. Now terms such as shelf prospectus and prospectus showed in 1956 has been retained in the new act of 2013. Now what is underwriting? Underwriting arrangement. Now this is the act to ensure the sale of shares or debentures of a company even before offering to the public is called underwriting, and those engaged in such activities are called the underwriters. Okay, now in other words to speak, what is the job of the underwriters? They take upon themselves the responsibility of selling the securities to the public. Okay, now in some securities remain unsold, so the underwriters will have to buy them. The underwriting agreement will have terms and conditions under which the underwriters agree to underwrite the shares as embodied in the document, okay? And this agreement is called the underwriting agreement. Now what are the advantages of underwriting? An underwriter renders valuable service in the promotion of the companies by guaranteeing the promoter against the sale of the shares and uncertainty and the risk. Now as the promoter also gets from the underwriter a large sum of cash at once, irrespective of the sale of securities, which enables a company to proceed with its project without waiting for the actual sale of securities. As we have mentioned, that any unsold securities will have to be purchased by the underwriter. Now the company, because there of this, the company gets an assurance from the underwriter for subscribing to the entire capital within a definite period, and because of which it escapes the danger of undercapitalization, and that kind of brings about a stability because the company also knows that what fund they require will be available. Now underwriters possess specialized experience and skills. Okay, and many times they provide expert advice also to the company with regards to the form and price of the new securities. The underwriters are very often professionals who are of financial integrity and established reputation. The association of whose names with an issue often raises the issue high in public estimation. Now, underwriters maintain working arrangement with brokers in other areas. Geographical dispersion of securities is facilitated. The prospective buyer are also benefited by the underwriters. How? Because the fact that the securities of particular concern are underwritten by a reputed firm, it acts as a guarantee about the quality and about the soundness of the security. So investor is therefore in a safer position to buy the security when they buy security by a particular underwriter. Now, a underwriter may be an individual or it can be an entity as well. Now, in India, the function of underwriting is done by private firms, commercial banks, investment trusts, unit trust of India, life insurance companies, and special financial institutions. For example, Industrial Finance Corporation or the IDBI Bank. Now, let us look at the subscription for shares. Now, after the copy of prospectus is filed with the registrar. The arrangements are made for issuance of prospectus to the public. Now, usually these arrangements are made with the company's banker to receive application, and the public is requested to send the application to the banker along with the money, the application money. And after the closing date of this application, the banker forwards all the application to the company. Once these applications are received, okay, applications equal to the minimum subscription is received, the board of directors proceeds to allot share after passing the necessary resolution. Please, I am once again reiterating, please remember, any working of a company is backed by its resolution. Hence, written resolutions are very, very important and mandatory. Now, the secretary, what he does, he is instructed to issue the applicants letters of allotments or regret, as the case may be, in terms of whoever is subscribed would receive the shares, and whoever has not been allotted the shares would receive a letter accordingly.